All right, here we go. This is it. We believe the last time, well, I know we're going to catch up with him again down the road. I'm positive of that. Positive thoughts.
Yes,
joining us
positive.
Down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey insider, Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent, excellent. I've actually been thinking, I've been noodling around ideas on a regular segment I could do on Overdrive when I'm full-blown retirement, and it would be like, you know, things I don't want to talk about, or it could be, first off, it would have to happen only on Fridays.
Right.
You know, yeah. Fridays, 4 o'clock, kick off the show, basically. And you could just say to me, so what'd you do this week? And I go, well, nothing hockey related. And then I could tell you, I golfed on Monday. I went to the beach on Tuesday, did this on Wednesday. It'd be really boring, but.
I like it.
We'll call it the outsider.
The outsider.
Exactly.
What about Bob? That's what I would. What about Bob?
Right.
Every Friday.
Basically what I did this week, and it has nothing to do with hockey.
Yeah, we'll make that work. I mean, that's basically what we do on this show anyway. So,
You know what? It's been the key to success, hasn't it?
Somehow it's worked out. Somehow we're still here. It's gonna be a transition for you. Obviously, I mean, I'm sure you're aware of that, and you're preparing for it. And I've been thinking about this, Bob. Like, and I wanted to ask you: does this mean you can be a fan again? Like, are you gonna be a fan? Let's say Canada's playing. Can you be a fan of Canada again when they play at the Olympics?
No, I can't because, well, first off, I'm still doing the World Juniors.
Right.
So, and I think I've mentioned to you before, and probably the reason you brought it up is because after the 96 World Cup, when I was really sour when Team Canada lost, I was really mad at myself for feeling as bad as I was feeling. And I realized I'm a very proud Canadian. I love Canada. I'm a very proud Canadian. And if you've got the name Bob McKenzie, you qualify for special Canadian status, a little more Canadian than everybody else. I haven't had the mouse in my beer, but if I told people I did, they'd believe me.
Right.
So anyways, but after that 90, whatever, I think it was 96 World Cup, but anyways, the one where Brett Hull was playing for the U.S. and he booted the puck in, and I was really sour when Canada lost that. So obviously in 1996 or thereabouts, I was still emotionally invested in Canada when they played internationally. And I'd done the World Juniors for many years and what have you. So, and that, but it really bothered me because I found that was the first time I ever noticed that when I was doing my job, and at the time I was 96, I would have been working for the Toronto Star. I was thinking like a fan instead of thinking like, a columnist. And it bothered me. So I said to myself, it would be really good somehow if you could divorce yourself from these emotional feelings. And, and I joke around about not doing predictions. And some people have said, you stopped doing predictions because you just didn't want to look stupid. I guess there's an element of truth to that. If you get beat by Maggie the monkey in 1 year, I think I did get beat by Maggie the monkey, then maybe, But that's when I realized that even something as simple as a prediction creates an emotional investment that doesn't do me any good, because for me, I like to be rational. I like to be thoughtful. I like to look at it, from every perspective, and cheering for or wanting an outcome to happen and then it not happening. And then you get all pissed off and you're all sour and it clouds sort of your view of how you might assess the situation. So anyways, long story short, or long story along the way this is going, I just decided that I got to somehow divorce myself from that, and I managed somehow to do it. And I'm not saying I cheer against Canada, because I don't. And there's lots of times where I've got friends involved in the international hockey, and I think, wouldn't this be cool for everybody if Canada wins this? When I was walking in 2010 to the rink and I just saw how pumped up everybody was and how exciting it was, I thought, this would be really, really, really cool for Canadians in Vancouver if Canada wins. But by the same token, when the U.S. scored that goal late in the gold medal game and it went into overtime, and the reality was Canada might lose it, I wasn't upset or angry or bitter or any of those things. And when Sid won, I was like, oh, that's nice. That's excellent for everybody's going to be really happy. How cool is that? As a storyline, but as opposed to if you know, if Patrick Kane had scored the winning goal and everybody went home unhappy, I would have been fine with it. So I don't know if I'll, I don't think I'm going to change my approach on international hockey because I still do the World Juniors for the next 5 years.
Well, I think we'd let you get a pass on that. I mean, the World Juniors, I guess, are one thing, but they're going back to the Olympics in, I guess,
yes,
what is it, 2022 and then 2026. Yeah. And
any word, Bobby, on the juniors? I mean, they haven't really talked. I know the junior hockey's kind of in trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, we'll know more on that probably, I would think, by the end of the month, if not sooner. And it's probably on my many to-do list of things I haven't gotten to yet. But should
or
probably
you care
try.
About.
Well, I actually do on that one, yeah. That one I do.
Yeah, that one's in your wheelhouse.
So anyways, I don't know what's going to happen on that. Now, the Olympics, and you'll get a kick out of this, knowing the way my mind works. I'm fully semi-retired, and I know very specifically what it is that I've got to do with my new contract and what it is that I don't have to do. But then I started thinking, Olympics, NHL Olympics, that might be something for Bob McKenzie Media, Inc.
Yes.
Come back for 3 or 4 weeks somewhere if somebody needs somebody. I thought that one might be a little supplementary income during the Olympics. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think they're in Italy in 2026, are they not?
I'm not sure.
That one might be worth a quick hop, skip, and a jump. And
yeah.
Just checking in. How's everyone doing? Let's see what's happening.
We doze, but we never fully close.
Right.
McKenzie Media.
Exactly. With Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. So I'll ask you what I think most Leaf fans would be wondering now that, you know, you're semi-retired and you've been covering this game for a long time and covering this team for a long, long time. How do you put it into perspective, you know, covering the team for 40 years, give or take, and never winning a cup? You know, I don't know if you'd be disappointed in that lack of coverage, but missing out on covering a cup run and actually winning one in Toronto. Where does that stand for you?
Yeah, you know, and again, that would be one of those ones where if the Leafs ever won the Cup, I would say, oh, you know what, that's really nice for the people of Toronto. They really deserve that. Leaf fans really, really deserve that. My friend Brian Hayes, who lives and dies at the Toronto Maple Leafs,
yep.
My friend Jeff O'Neill, who gets paid to be critical of them when he needs to be critical of them, but bleeds blue, even when he played for the Carolina Hurricanes or the Hartford Whalers, he was still, in his heart, a Toronto Maple Leaf fan. I think it'd be really cool for everybody to have that. I don't know if it's ever going to happen in my lifetime, but and it's gotten, you know, epic proportions because, you know, Toronto and Montreal are obviously the two most storied franchises in the league, the ones that have been here the longest. And Montreal has at least got, you know, 93, 86, the run in the '70s. To hang their hat on. But just the whole notion of, you know, and I understand it's a Leaf question, and I'll get back to the Leafs in a second, but it's amazing to me that no Canadian team has won a cup since 1993.
Right.
That's bizarro. And so as much as the Leafs obviously predate that and go all the way back to 67, that says more about Harold Ballard and, you know, a number of other things. And probably the closest they came was the 93 playoffs. It would have been a great, you know, it can't happen ever again, the all-Canadian final, you know, with the all-Toronto-Montreal-all-Canadian final. You know, we were so close. We were Wayne Gretzky's best game ever away from having a Toronto-Montreal Cup final that year. And that, for me, probably was as many good times as there was when Pat Quinn was running the show and as close as they got in a few instances there. That 93 run was the most charged up, energized the city I've seen it since 67. And it was really unfortunate that they didn't get that that opportunity to go up against Montreal in the Cup final. But I think it'd be really cool if the Leafs won. But it's even that much harder now than ever because we just consistently have added teams. And as I said, now I think we're dealing with a phenomena of not just the Toronto Maple Leafs not winning since 67, but no Canadian team winning since 1993. That's bizarre.
Do you think there'd be salt in the wound for Leaf fans, Bobby, watching Vancouver and their young guys kind of, who knows what's going to happen with St. Louis, but
yep.
if they go a round or two or just go on some kind of deep
oh,
run,
sure.
it's like, why are these guys getting it and our guys
yeah.
aren't?
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. No doubt. And that just rubs salt in the wound for Leaf fans and turns up the heat on Brendan Shanahan, Kyle Dubas, and Sheldon Keefe, for sure. But as I say, as you point out too, it's one game against St. Louis, and there's a lot of people in the Vancouver Canuck fans. They love their team like Toronto Maple Leaf fans love their team.
Of course.
Even with maybe even a different type of intensity, where there's like almost an edgier intensity with Vancouver fans and their love-hate relationship with the Canucks, and they're obviously thrilled beyond words right now that they were able to knock off Minnesota in the first round and now have a 1-0 lead on the defending Stanley Cup champions, who quite frankly have not looked at all good in this thing. I mean, Boston at least bounced back, and it was a tough game against Carolina, although Carolina's a really good team, but Boston started to show some signs of, yeah, we could be the Boston Bruins again. We didn't see that from St. Louis in this return to play.
Now, Bennington doesn't, I'm not going to lay it all at his feet, but he certainly hasn't been very good. And that team looks, for some reason, they look like they're ready. They're trying to turn it on and flick the switch, and they can't find it right now. And actually, where I wanted to go, Bob, is, obviously this tournament's going to sort out and be a cup final, but, just anticipating looking ahead, like, do you see a really active off season with expansion coming, with roster shuffles? I think there's going to be, obviously the pressure's on here in Toronto, but do you see a lot of managers being very, very proactive here, maybe a little bit different than other off seasons?
I would think so for a number of reasons. And this whole flat salary cap for who knows how long, there may be some teams that are looking long and hard at their roster, who's making what. What can we do to give ourselves more breathing room? What do we have too much of? What do we not have enough of? Is this going to present? Is the financial pressure of the pandemic and the flat cap for a number of years? Is that going to free up some more bodies that might not otherwise be available? I don't know if it will or not. I'm assuming it will, but it might also create a bit of a. It might paralyze everything to some degree as well. So where teams are kind of looking at it and saying, well, if the fit's not absolutely perfect, maybe we just got to roll with what we've got, and it's going to be harder to get better in this short term for the next year, two, three, whatever the case may be. But I think teams will be motivated to do stuff. And again, the one asterisk I would provide to that would be that there may be some teams that come out of this and say, don't want to read too much into what happened in this weird return to play in August and September, unless it just confirms or shatters your illusion of what your team was for 70-plus games in the actual regular season that ended up being paused in March. So I think it could cut both ways. There's one part of me that really feels like, yeah, you know what, Noodles? I think you're right. I think teams are going to get real aggressive. They're going to get real creative. And they're going to try to solve some financial problems here, if they can. And then there's another part of me that thinks if everybody's trying to do that, do you just end up with a whole bunch of everybody's talking, but, nobody can pull the trigger on something just because the numbers aren't going to add up?
Yeah, I think what we need is more, grizzled veteran GMs in the game, because Jim Rutherford in Pittsburgh said he's basically planning on throwing a grenade into his room and changing things up, and David Poile in Nashville said the same thing.
Oh, did David Poile, he's a pretty calm guy, but man, he's fired up.
He stated it. He's like, players aren't coming back. Like, there's going to be guys here that just are not coming back.
Yeah, good luck with that. Like, who is he talking about? Kyle Turris?
Yeah,
like, $6 million.
Craig Smith.
So, and that's, and that's what we don't know yet. So, I don't want to sell David short by any stretch, because maybe he is going to, take a jackhammer to things, or maybe he's going to just move the guys that we assume that he's going to move, or you know, take out of the equation. You know, and David and Jimmy are both veteran general managers. In fact, along with Lou, those are the three elder statesman GMs in the National Hockey League. And Jimmy knows that, you know, he won those back-to-back cups. And he obviously knows with Crosby and Malkin, the clock is ticking, the window is closing. So he's not going to be shy about whatever it is that he thinks he needs to do to try to wring one more or two more cups out of this group. Some might think that the window is closed. He wouldn't subscribe to that, and he's going to do something to try and jam that window open. And David, you know, bless David, because there's part of me thinks the reason he's still a general manager of the National Hockey League is simply because he wants to win the Stanley Cup so badly. He doesn't want to leave until he gets it, and he obviously came close. He and Jimmy went head-to-head, the Preds and the Penguins,
right,
in that cup, and won, you know. And Jimmy already had a cup from the Carolina years and what have you, but you know, one of those guys was going to get one, and one of them wasn't. And David was the disappointed guy. And each successive year since then, the Preds have gotten further and further away from doing it. And so he too has got to be of the mindset: I don't have a lot of time here. I gotta get cracking here. If we're going to win with Roman Josi and these guys, I gotta flip a switch somehow, and if it means throwing a grenade in, then I guess I gotta throw a grenade in. So we'll have to wait and see exactly how it plays itself out.
Yeah, I'm hopeful. I'm looking forward to as much chaos as possible, and we'll see. We'll see when it happens, where it's going to happen, where it's going to take place. But we'll leave it there. It's been our pleasure for all these years. Thank you for putting up with us, Bob, as always. And
thanks, Bobby.
And we'll do this again down the road.
Thank you, boys.
Thanks, Bob.
Top-notch radio programming. I'll miss it greatly. I will occasionally listen. Actually, you know what? You know what the good thing is? I don't have to listen. My kids, Mike and Sean, they are avid listeners, and they tell me when there is something that's really, really funny, and then I jump on and get online if I don't happen to be in the car or listening to the radio, and I make sure that I hear the essential stuff. So, but yeah, it's been a blast, and we'll still be hanging around. And I can't golf with Obies; I'm not good enough. But I'll try and get Hazy B out to Wooden Sticks with
yes,
me one
sir.
Day.
Let's do it, Bob. You got it. Always.
So I just took you out today, and then you're going out with Bob, and I can't. I don't.
It's just wait a second. Time out.
Yeah.
If you would last about one hole on the course with Mayo, you'd get in your cart and you'd make a quicker exit than the Dubis.
No. I don't care what anyone else does as long as they do it quickly. I played with Hazy B and he was scraping it around a little bit today too.
But sometimes like 10 or 12 shots on a hole doesn't happen quickly.
Even I'll put it in your pocket myself. I'll put it in your pocket after 7. That's all you need to take is a 7. You're retired. There's no need to write down a 12. Nobody has time for that garbage.
Yeah, well, the good news is I don't keep score. Actually, I've started keeping score, but if I was playing with you, I wouldn't keep score. So what I would do is just make sure there were cold drinks and beverages.
That's
for
the
it.
Way to do it. Yeah. That's the priority list.
I love that.
All right, we'll make that happen too. Always awesome, great boys. Catching up with you. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Bob.
Love you guys. Take care.
There he is, Bob McKenzie, our Hockey Insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. There he is, a legend's legend, Bob McKenzie. And we'll miss Bob on, you know, a couple times a week, but he'll be on again in the future. I don't dispute that. I don't deny that. I think Bob will join us at some point, and we'll track him, and maybe we'll just get him on and talk about whatever he wants to talk about. That works for us.
I wonder if we could ask him, didn't we have was that earlier this week or last week, where what would you tape to your snout to
play
golf Augusta?
Yeah.
Staple Al's brother's underpants to my nostrils.
I know. You meant like Bobby Mack would just hang up on us if that was.
I think
if
so.
That was, you know.
Although
he's
Bob,
not a big golfer.
He's. I mean, he's. I think he's probably going to start playing a lot more. That's what he seems to be telling people. He told me that a few weeks ago, and that's what he indicated right there, is he's going to get out there and start playing more, and he's going to have time on his hands. So.
Well, he's earned it. Certainly he's earned it.
Yep, for sure. So that was great catching up with Bob, as always. And